Massive wins, Lee, last week at the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
This one didn't get as much attention because the other one was so big. These judicial dictators can't issue injunctions right. anymore.
And that's probably the most important ruling that the Supreme Court has made in a long time.
Yes, very long. And by the way, Trump wasn't supposed to win that one.
Nope.
Because we were told, no, these judges, all almost 700 of them, they could just pick anything Trump's doing and tell him to stop. No, they can do that for the whole country. What they're saying now is two things. You've got to have an actual court case that you're ruling on, and three things, actually. You can issue an injunction for that case in that jurisdiction. There's 94 districts, so 1/94th of the country is what it'll apply to, basically. But that's it. You can't enjoin the president. Lee, it had gotten so bad by last week. I don't think people realize how bad it was. That Trump was forced to sue all 15 judges in the Maryland district because they're very liberal there. And they had gotten to the point where they'd gotten so sloppy that if they just didn't like what Trump was doing, they didn't even bother to rule on a case. They just ruled that he was to stop deporting illegals for 48 hours. And it's a long story behind why that was. This was a trial balloon to see. Could a random district court judge or judges just order Trump to stop deporting people? The left wanted to find out if they could do it.
They found out, didn't they?
Yeah. So and could do it without even a court case. Just, hey, we've noticed you're deporting people. We don't like it. Stop. That's how bad it got. He sued all 15 of them. I mean, can you imagine the precedent on that? Six almost 700 liberal justices, just saying, hey, whatever Trump does, we'll just note it and just send him an order not to do it anymore. That's where we were until the Supreme Court stepped in and stopped this. But there was this other ruling, and you look at a ruling like this and think, dear God, if we ever had a liberal majority on the Supreme Court, the way it would change this country. This decision, Mahmoud versus Taylor, and what it was over was, can the Montgomery County, Maryland school system force children as young as 5 to sit through the reading of 13 LGBTQ+ inclusive texts in English and language arts? This is curriculum for kids pre-K through the 12th grade. And children were required, it was required reading to learn or listen to read or listen to stories like Prince and Knight about two male knights who marry each other, Love Violet about two young girls falling in love with each other, and Born Ready, the true story of a boy named Penelope. It's about the child's transition. Now listen to this. This is part of the curriculum. Teachers were informed it was a mandatory reading, must be assigned, families can't opt out, and the guidelines for teachers made clear that students, get this, had to be corrected if they expressed opposing views on gender. Like, a girl can't be a boy. The teachers were instructed to say, quote, that comment is hurtful, unquote.
Well, it's clear that was nothing but political indoctrination.
Yeah, that's a religion right there.
Yeah. The
Democrat Party is a cult, and this is their religion.
Yeah.
So they got the religion out of schools. That was the first step. This was the second step. Listen to this. This is from the actual curriculum. Even if a student merely asks, what's transgender, teachers are expected to say, quote, when we're born, people make a guess about our gender and label us boy or girl based on our body parts. Sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. They actually ruled on this. Teachers were specifically told, this is from the Supreme Court case, to disrupt thinking or values opposing pro-LGBTQ and transgender views. To disrupt the thinking. Anything that, ran against that, like, well, homosexuality is against my religion. Like, if a child was to say that, they were to be told that is hurtful. In other words, singled out in front of the class. So this was not a constructive conversation. This was pure indoctrination. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of families tried to opt out of these lessons, Christians, Muslims, all of them.
Interesting coalition there too, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, look at the name on the case, Mahmoud versus Taylor. Mm-hmm. And there were opt-outs allowed for all kinds of other things in the school, like sex ed.
See, that's what diversity looks like, Tara.
Yeah.
Christians and Muslims working together to stop political indoctrination.
By the left.
Yes.
And they're supposed to never oppose the left, is the way it's supposed to be. Anyway, the school system allowed opt-out of these lessons, you know, like for sex ed, for other things. But they said, well, so many kids want to opt out, so many parents, we can't do that. It'll cause chaos. And so the whole thing ended up at the Supreme Court. Now, listen to this. Justice Sonia Sotomayor declared, there, quote, will be chaos for this nation's public schools if we can't have what amounts to transgender storybook time. As a mandatory part of the curriculum. She said children will suffer if parents are allowed to opt their children out. She said that this would be a disaster for public schools. Public education is doomed if this passes. Obviously, thank God she's in the minority. But they've only just started this like in the last few years, Lee. I mean, it's not like this has been part of public education for 20 years right. or something, and now we're doomed. I mean, I don't. This woman is crazy, yes. And unfortunately, yes. She's on the Supreme Court.
Right. Well, you know. Yeah. I just can't help but wonder, okay, let's say that we wanted a curriculum that talked about the benefits of owning and operating weapons, guns, and had literature that the students from kindergarten through 12th grade were required to read, and anybody who disagreed with your Second Amendment rights, you were not allowed to talk about that. That you had to admit that, oh, the Second Amendment is great, which it is, and that you had to affirm your belief that every American citizen has a right to own and operate weapons of their choice and anywhere. Now, what if that were being our children being indoctrinated with that? What do you think would happen?
They should be indoctrinated.
Well, actually, they should. But that's something that the parents should do. Yes, exactly.
It's like actually in the Constitution.
This is not a perfect analogy here.
I know. Okay.
Going a little over the top.
Yeah.
You know, demonstrating absurdity by being absurd, as Rush would do.
Yeah. No, I mean, no, they'd have a huge problem with that.
Of course they would.
Sotomayor says this threatens the very essence of public education.
And see, what I was talking about was an actual enumerated right.
Right.
Not a made-up set of beliefs that many people, a majority of Americans, do not agree with.
Well, we won and they lost.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
I hate to throw cold water on it, but for now. But this is an important victory. It is very important.
Yeah. And to win at 6-3 is excellent.
And this is why elections matter.
Yes. I mean, can you imagine as a condition of getting a public education that you have to be indoctrinated in this stuff?
Yeah.
That was part of the curriculum.
Well, you know what would be next, communism and Marxism.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then, of course, you know, global warming or climate change. And then you would have, you know, obviously we've already got a rejection of theology and religion. You know, then we'd be disavowing the Constitution. So, I mean, that would the slope would be even slipperier.
Yeah. And, you know, look, they've already stripped the classics out. You know what's amazing? My daughter is, you know, she's going into her senior year, right? Mm-hmm. She has managed to get to her, I can't believe this, without reading any of the classics. She's never read Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. In one of her class, can you imagine? In like when we were in school, wait, you could not make it through school without reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
That was like ABC 1, 2, 3, right?
Yeah.
No Shakespeare, no Edward Allan Poe, no Jane Austen, none of the authors, zero.
And what about the American authors?
Oh, none of them either.
Yeah.
No. There's none of that. It's all modern authors, and they're all politically correct.
Yeah.
I just mentioned this stuff to her, and she's like, "Who?" So unbelievable. You know what's missing? The riots. No, where are the riots? Wait, 3, almost 4 weeks ago now. That's all we were talking about. The way the Democrats are burning their own cities down. They'd already done $20 million in damage to L.A. That's a start. I remember Waukesha, Wisconsin, they did $50 million of damage just to that city over fake news in a police case. $50 million. I mean, they were just getting started. Where are the riots? Where'd they go? What? No, if this was a natural, organic movement, outrage over the dictator Trump coming in and taking, hauling away perfectly good but totally illegal future Democrat voters. I mean, if this was organic, if this was just, you know, rises up, you know, organically from the street, where are the riots? Tyler Winklevoss, the actual founder of Facebook before Mark Zuckerberg stole it. He had to pay Tyler a lot of money for stealing Facebook. Not enough, in my opinion, but whatever. Anyway, he's something of a voice online. He's got over 1 million followers. He asked this question, and I noticed this, and I'm like, the riots are gone. He tweeted, I was wondering what happened to the LA riots. They just stopped all of a sudden. Makes sense. They were never organic, just NGO-funded Democrat propaganda. Why do you think that the riots might have stopped? Could it be that this was effective? This is a joint Department of Justice, FBI, and IRS press conference in which this was said.
The FBI and our federal partners will continue to investigate individuals and organizations who are knowingly funding and committing acts of violence against law enforcement, as well as the destruction of property.
We are currently tracing money to determine who is providing funding for these riots. Funding crime doesn't just affect the criminals, it also disrupts entire communities. Each dollar funneled into illegal operations fuels violence, undermines law and order, and perpetuates fear. Make no mistake, we will identify and disrupt financial networks supporting these criminal activities.
Think before you act. The legal consequences for financing or aiding and abetting these crimes are harsh. They include imprisonment and fines.
And suddenly they stopped. It's like the weirdest thing. And you know what? I hope they keep going. So you know what they're going to find? They're going to find billions of dollars. You know, the gold bars Joe Biden threw off the ship that they gave to Democrats associated with Barack Obama and Joe Biden, who had almost no experience running billion-dollar NGOs. And they ran the billions through there in the last months of the Biden administration. They're going to end up finding that money was paying for those riots, along with the Chinese billionaire, who was also paying for the riots. NGOs, Democrats don't want that money sniffed out, and the riots stopped. Weird, right? Which means we really need to pull that thread. Okay. Meanwhile, Tom Tillis, y'all. I actually know Tom Tillis. Used to be a reporter in the Charlotte area. I've interviewed him before. Watched his rise. That guy is a disaster. And I said that when Trump endorsed him. Tom Tillis will sell out to anybody for any amount of money. He's worse than a Democrat. And he came up during the Bush era. That was kind of the tail end of that. He had a bunch of Bush donor money, which means that money, it flows like water. And the reason it does is they only want one thing. They want open borders. They want, you know, illegals to stay put. They want American taxpayers to get stuck with their Medicaid bills and their Medicare bills. They want them on Medicaid and Medicare in violation of the law. I mean, look, you had George W. Bush. You want to know where the money flows from. He partnered with Obama, I'll never forget this, and Bill Clinton to raise hundreds of millions of dollars for those illegal immigrant airplane flights into the country when Joe was sneaking them in with a QR code. I thought all three presidents should go to prison. Try them, RICO. It's what I'd do. But because you don't get to violate federal law because you're a president, but or a former president. But that's who Tom Tillis's coffers are filled by. He's sort of the tail end of Bush control of the party. And of course, the open borders lobby. Announced his retirement hours after voting against the big, beautiful bill and Trump vowing to get a primary challenger against him. Rumor is that it's actually going to be Lara Trump who ends up running for that seat. But it's not going to be against Tillis. Thank God that guy's gone. It's one of those seats where, honestly, you might as well just elect a Democrat at that point if you're going to put Tom Tillis back. He's that bad. But again, he won with Donald Trump's endorsement. This was another disaster, Trump endorsements. A lot of these are really bad. So hopefully, Lara Trump is the replacement because I don't want to see the Senate seat go to a Democrat. I mean, we've already turned the state of North Carolina over to Democrats because Trump's endorsements were so bad. now that Democrats now control that state, and they shouldn't. We lost the governor's race. We lost the attorney general's race in that state because Trump endorsed really, really bad, weak, awful candidates. But Lara Trump would be a huge, huge improvement. So let's hope so. Because Tillis basically is just a vote against Trump for no reason, just pure hate. Okay, let's jump on over to the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, Tara, does that mean the No Kings protest for the 4th of July is canceled? If so, that means one of my leftist clients will be highly disappointed. I don't know. I just know they're not burning their stuff down anymore. Except in Portland, where they're still trying to kill ICE agents. But other than that, no. By surrounding the buildings and trapping them inside. And they have to put federal snipers on the roof to keep the leftists at bay. Texter writes, thank goodness for a hot summer. It's too hot even for even paid rioters to riot. This text, Texter writes, the curriculum in my day was Dick and Jane, not Dick can be Jane. Well, times have changed. Texter writes, if public education is doomed based on that, let it be doomed. Yeah, Sotomayor saying public education is doomed because children cannot be forced to listen to transgender story hour and LGBTQ story hour as a condition of getting a public school education, which is what the Supreme Court just ruled. No, you can't do that. You cannot tell parents they can't opt their kids out of indoctrination. Texter writes, hey, Tara, there's two genders. I'll milk the cow, you milk the bull. Let me know how that works out for you. So says Raymond. How about you milk the bull, Raymond? I'm not going to try that. Texter writes, the district judge's rule. Oh, okay. Yeah. The Supreme Court's district judge's ruling has temporarily stopped the district judges, but left it wide open for class action suits. Two have already been filed. Yes. But here's the problem the left is going to have there. Class action suits are highly, highly regulated. There's a lot of federal law. It's not as easy as just getting a judge whose whole family is making money, you know, through NGOs to rule the way that you want. It's they are highly structured. There are just a laundry list of rules for who can join and who can be litigated against. And you get the class action lawsuit, it's a lot easier to get it thrown out of court to appeal it. It's big, unwieldy, and it has massive moving parts. So yes, they're going to go for the class action lawsuits. And you're right, two have already been filed. I think there's actually more out there now. But this is going to be harder for them to do. But we're just going to have to fight our way through that, too. I mean, we're creating a lot of great precedent. Texter writes, the protest funders stopped because a fatwa was declared and they know more violence is coming. Another texter writes, July 4th is the original King's Day. Yeah, didn't end well for the Kings. Texter writes, Tom Tillis isn't bipartisan. He's voted with the Democrats every chance he's gotten. Yeah, a bit, just not a good person. Thrilled he's not going to be in the Senate anymore. All right, coming up on the show, I'll explain Alligator Alcatraz, what it's actually about, and the reason that Trump is going personally for its opening. I hoped he would do that. You know what it takes to win? If we were going to really win, finish off the Democrat Party, you know what it would take? We could do it. It would take all Republicans fighting as hard as Trump, or at least fighting at all. I was one of the few people to cover this, screaming, yelling about this back in February. Donald Trump asked a simple thing of the country's GOP governors. Help me. I cannot move out all 12 million that Joe Biden let in here. Trump says it's 21. Wouldn't surprise me. Let's go with at least 12 that Joe Biden flooded the country with in his voter drive. I can't do it alone. I need a force multiplier. You have to help me. And he had a simple but brilliant way for that to happen. See, for decades, the Democrats and the ACLU have been suing local cops to stop them from enforcing federal law. That's why they catch an illegal drunk driving, for instance. They cannot detain him because he's illegal. In other words, they can't say, hey, We're not bonding you out. We're going to send you to ICE. They can't because they're not federal deportation agents. In other words, they don't have the authority to carry out federal law. So they can arrest an illegal for speeding, if they're going way too fast, maybe to get arrested, I don't know. They drunk driving, whatever. But if they pull over an illegal, it's obviously illegal. They have to let them go, even though they know that person is violating federal law. And Trump came up with a brilliant solution, which he asked every GOP governor in the country to implement back in February. All you got to do, listen, I will deputize your state agents as federal agents. I will deputize your police departments. We can get them to go along. So in South Carolina, it would be SLED. It would be the Highway Patrol. It would be NC Diener. In Florida, Florida became the only state to answer the call from Trump. That's pathetic. There are 25 GOP governors in this country. One answered the call. One. And you got to love in Florida because, you're talking about even like the dog catchers are deputized. Their fish and wildlife are deputized. They can pick up illegals and remove them. And they use them on raids. So the first big week of raids, they picked up almost 800. Well, it's going so well in Florida that they don't have enough space, enough beds in the ICE facilities. So they had to take extreme measures, and that's how you got Alligator Alcatraz, 5,000 beds. Now, the good news is Trump is going there for the opening tomorrow. Why? I hope people need to understand. I hope he renews his call for these Republican governors to stop pretending they don't know Trump is asked to help with deportation. We know Henry McMaster, our lazy, no good governor, knows damn well that you would like him to help Donald Trump by deputizing SLED and our highway patrol and Diener and every state agent that we have to get in the fight. He knows that because over 500 of you have requested his contact information on our text line. I told you how to do that so you could call him or email him and say, hey, listen, you need to help the president. Stop pretending. Stop playing golf all day. Stop doing ribbon cuttings and do something that matters. Well, Henry McMaster is pretending not to know Trump asked him. And it's clear why. He wants this to be a sanctuary state. I mean, Florida, you can barely operate there now. I mean, if you are an illegal immigrant, you are afraid to drive to the grocery store because that cop stops you for a broken taillight, illegal lane change. You know what? Instead of the grocery store, you're going to end up in Guatemala. And that's what Alligator Alcatraz is for. So I'm really hoping Trump calls out these other disgusting, no good Republican governors who are on the side of the illegal immigrants and not Trump and not MAGA and not any of it. By the way, the Alligator Alcatraz, this is the best part, costs $500 million a year to operate. It's going to be about $500 million a year to operate. It's going to be massive. And it's 5,000 beds, and they're saying they're going to move them through. Listen to this. They've got a landing strip right there where the planes can land, pick up the illegals, and fly them out of the country. These are not hard things. Well, anyway, the beauty of it, if you have the will to do it, Henry McMaster doesn't. He wants for all of his friends on the golf course with him, you'll never be part of that club, to continue profiting from illegal immigration as a tax evasion scheme, making them all criminals. Should be embarrassed, Governor. Leave Trump hanging like that. After he endorsed you? What a loser you are. I can't wait till you're out of office. What a loser, capital L. And a pretender, too. Don't get me started on him. Anyway, here's the beauty of it. Do you know what's going to pay for Alligator Alcatraz? Remember the $1 billion in FEMA money that they were spending to put illegals, future Democrat voters, in luxury hotels? Well, it's been repurposed.
The funding for this. Mm-hmm. Some of it will be paid by the state of Florida, but a lot of it will be paid by the federal government. We're actually looking at FEMA to fund this through the Shelter and Services Program, which we saw in the Biden administration. That funding was bastardized to use for places like the Roosevelt Hotel, which is the place that housed Trende Arago, sure. Was really the base of operations there, as well as Lake and Riley's Killer. So we're going to take that funding and actually house these illegal aliens before we get them out the door and out of our country.
Yeah, the base of operations for Trende Arago was a luxury hotel in New York. And they were using part of that $1 billion in FEMA money to pay for the illegals to stay there. Great interview we played with two of the illegals, and one of them's pushing a baby carriage provided by the federal government and talking about how she hasn't worked a day in the 7 months she's been here. She gets free meals, free hotel, free health care for her child, free health care for herself, and the nice stroller. What a difference a presidency makes. Here's Ron DeSantis begging other Republicans, help him, help Trump. Don't be like our loser of a governor, Henry McMaster.
DHS must love this because they're hurting for facilities, and here you are helping the federal government out.
Yeah, well, I said at the very beginning when President Trump took office, you have to have state and locals on board. You got to be on the team if you want to get the deportation mission done. We've done that better than anybody, but I hope other states will follow suit.
Not here, where our SLED, our highway patrol, all of our state officers still can't pick up illegals because that's how Henry McMaster wants it. I mean, folks, at some point, compared to what DeSantis is doing, this is a sanctuary state. That's a choice. That's a choice. Here's a little bit on Alligator Alcatraz and how it'll open. It's super cool. It's in the middle of the, it's about 50 miles into the Everglades. And you could escape, I guess, but you're going to have to walk the 50 miles back out. There's alligators, there is Burmese pythons, and there's also the American crocodile. Those are man-eaters. Here you go.
And by Tuesday, this will be able to have intake of illegals.
And you've thought of everything. Okay, so there are four gigantic tents. Let's come on over here, Governor. And people are thinking, okay, you're in the middle of the Everglades. It's hot. That would explain why you've got this bank of air conditioners here.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is going to be, illegals will come in. They'll be processed. There'll be places for them to be housed. You'll have an ability for food. You'll have an ability for them to consult legal rights if they have that, because there is a process that's involved with this. So this is really everything. This is going to be a self-contained little area. And then, of course, you also have stuff for the staff that work here. So right. We've got laundry facilities. We've got showers. We've got, obviously, there you see the shower and bath facilities.
Yep, right there.
Yep. There's not going to be anything that they're hurting for anything. There'll be AC. There'll be things.
You know why they need this in Florida? Because the Democrat Party dumped under Biden over 300,000 Haitian illegal immigrants in that state. Just 30,000 a month, 30, flying them in with George Bush raising the money to fly them in. Illegal. It's all legal. In a bid to flip that state back to blue with an amnesty. We got to get them out of that state. We will still have the free state of Florida to run to, a place that is still recognizably American, as opposed to places like, you know, New York. Folks, they're not even hiding it. The upside to Zohran Mamdani is that you can actually see what the Democrats intend to do. And if you think about it, different taxes according to race actually make a lot of sense. That is the logical conclusion, the logical place that the Democrat agenda would take us. And that's exactly what he's proposing.
You're saying we're simply describing the types of neighborhoods that would see these increase in taxes, and yet by invoking race, do you run the risk of potentially alienating key constituents?
I think I'm just naming things as they are. And ultimately, the thing that motivates me in this is to create a system of fairness. It is not to work backwards from an racial assessment of neighborhoods or our city. Rather, it's to ensure that we actually have an equal playing field.
That's exactly what it is. And when this broke over the weekend, I knew this would happen. Our side, we're very innocent in some ways because we've been raised in America. We've always had freedom. We saw this. We said, racism. It's racist. He's a racist, which he is. Absolute bigot. But they don't know what they're looking at. She Van Fleet explained it to Tucker Carlson once, and I did a whole podcast on it. In Marxism, and that's who he is. He's a Marxist. In Marxism, people are... individuality doesn't exist. People are divided into classes. And when you had the communist revolution, and she lived through that, the beginnings of it, all people in Chinese society were divided into 10 classes, 5 oppressor classes and 5 oppressed classes. And the lawfare, what we would call lawfare, began. If you were an oppressor class, the laws applied. See if this sounds familiar, like America today. The laws apply to you in the extreme. You were pretty much going to end up in prison, no matter what you did. If you were in a press class, laws really didn't apply to you. And the anecdote she gave, she said when she was in elementary school, there was a teacher who had been come from an affluent family before the revolution. So she was an oppressor. And she watched the children beat her, kicked her, spat on her, knocked her to the ground, beat her bloody. But the children were from the oppressed classes. So rules, laws, they simply could not apply to them. They were better than. And she watched this teacher beaten up when she was a kid. She came to America. She's running for Congress now. She's hardcore right-winger, hates communism. And she said, that's what you're watching. Oppressed classes versus oppressor classes. And for modern Democrats, anyone who is white, because white people tend to vote in the majority against them, they are a low-value class and thus must be punished, made to pay more, to have less, but to have laws apply to them in the extreme. It's classic Marxism. But our side doesn't understand it because we haven't studied Marxism, thank God. We haven't watched that. So what he's doing is saying, I'm going after the oppressor classes. I am going to do taxation by race. And of course, when he says white neighborhoods, that's also, you know, doublespeak for Jewish neighborhoods. He hates Jews. And by the way, over the weekend, given three chances by Kristen Welker to deny his statements about the Intifada, globalized Intifada. What is the Intifada? It's violence against Jews. It says, hey, we're going to take the fight, the Palestinian mass murder of Jewish people that we saw on October 7th, and we're going to make it worldwide. So again, when he's saying white, that is liberal speak for Jewish as well. A lot of those neighborhoods are heavily Jewish. And so this is him saying, look, this is an oppressor class and we're going to oppress them.
You're saying we're simply describing the types of neighborhoods that would see these increase in taxes. And yet by invoking race, do you run the risk of potentially alienating key constituents?
I think I'm just naming things as they are. And ultimately my...
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Representative Andy Ogles says there will be a congressional investigation of this guy. You know, he only became a citizen in 2018. Yeah, well, on your citizenship form, if you are a member of or advocating for an anti-American institution, anything communist counts. They very explicitly say that. You have to declare it on your citizenship application, and it is grounds for denial of your citizenship. He didn't. While openly advocating for the Communist Party of India. He's got other connections to communism as well. Take a listen. This is Republican Representative Andy Ogles.
So like on your naturalization forms, you know, there's a section on there where it talks about your activity and your alliances. And so we've continued to dig, you know, so he became a citizen, naturalized citizen in 2018. And so at the same time, he's filling out these forms to become a citizen. He's joining a communist group here in the United States. And so if we can go back and fill in the dots of when he was joining that group versus when he filled out that paperwork, it may very, very well disqualify him from being a citizen of the United States of America. That's why this is so important. And so what we're trying to do, even for some reason that he slips through the fingers, he slips through the cracks and we can't get him, we're going to create a template for we can go after other radicals who come to this country, become a citizen, and quite frankly, they're a sleeper to undermine our government.
That's who the Democrats have been bringing here. Folks, that is why they sent the Border Patrol, Joe Biden did, out to Trump's bollard wall to permanently solder it open so that Muslim men, 700 to 1,000 every night, could come in through the desert. They didn't want them crossing at the big crossings that are always on TV because people would notice. They thought they'd sneak them in, and they did for months. It was an ex-journalist out there watching it night after night and videoing it. And they created a special crossing, and it went on for month after month after month. Illegal immigrants, almost all of them Muslim, brought in by the Islamic Organization for Cooperation. 700 to 1,000 night after night after night after night. So the Democrats know what they're doing. This is on purpose.